This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto here. How are you? I'm the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts, and I have an important Town Hall Academy just for you. You know, asking for help and admitting you need help is often the last thing struggling business owners want to do. They also might not know who or how to ask. My panel of coaches in this Business Coaches Lab has experience in the shop business and has a huge tenure as successful aftermarket business coaches. They've seen a lot, and they've helped many find unrivaled business success and a path to financial freedom. Hey, thanks to our partner Shopware and Broadly for providing this episode. Now, you've just flipped through a pile of papers to find that invoice while the customer waits impatiently at the counter. Now, talk about a dumb use of your time. You need a digital shop management system that makes you look smart. Get smart. Go on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, do you lie awake at night wondering why your competitors have hundreds of five-star reviews, but you only have a few? Well, rest easy with Broadly. It gets you more online reviews and more people coming into your shop. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat. With me is Chris Cotton from Auto Fix Auto Shop Coaching and the Chris Cotton Weekly Blitz podcast. And Murray Voth is here, RPM training. I love the wisdom that Murray always brings. And all those people up in Canada are so great to have you as a coach in the great white north. And Brian Gillis is with us, Chief UNet Results Strategist. Now look it, so that you all feel comfortable, this group, we're all shop owners. Murray was in the service station business, and Brian had 8 or 9 stores. And Chris, you have always told such great stories on your podcast about your most incredible learning curve as a shop owner. And every single shop owner that I know that I ever talk to, I says, you want to talk about the dark days? And occasionally they do. They want to share. They really want to tell people there's a couple of really key ways to pick yourself up and move forward. And I think we're going to talk about that today. So guys, thanks for being here. Business Coaches Lab, struggling shops. Murray, I want to ask you the first question. Do my people know that I'm struggling?
Probably not. I've probably been doing my best to cover it up. But having said that, they probably subconsciously know that something is wrong. The smarter ones, or maybe the more experienced ones, I should say, it's not a matter of intelligence. It's more maybe reading people will probably know, but they haven't been told verbally. It hasn't been communicated with them, and they're probably afraid to ask questions or ask what's going on. Right? They're just hanging on for dear life. Try to do their best to support. Right? So, but I think one of the things of a struggling shop is we need to talk, gather our team, and we need to be transparent. Now, we don't need to be inappropriate. We can share certain things and not other things, because what'll happen is they might misinterpret it and take responsibility for stuff that's not their responsibility. I would say be transparent, but you don't have to tell them everything. As a parent, you communicate with your children. Depending on the age, you tell them more. The younger they are, the less experienced they are, the less we tell them, because we don't want to stress them out, give them fear, or get all of a sudden they feel bad that somehow this was their fault, because that's the last thing we need. But we need them to understand that we're having challenges. And the other part of it is I need your help, which is Chris's first line on his points was ask for help.
The last thing you want to happen is one of your employees to come to you and be like, hey, I was at the grocery store and the person checking my bag said that we were going out of business. Like the rumor mill in town or whatever, you have to head that off, and your employees need to know the first thing about it and what's going on. You don't want that stuff going out into the community and then coming back to you that way.
Yeah.
Back to my point was ask for help and then actually get it and receive it. I don't know how many times I have people email me. It's like the sky is falling. I need help. I'm almost out of business. I don't know what to do. And then I email them and schedule a follow-up phone call. And then they don't take the phone call. And then they send an email and say, hey, I was so busy, I couldn't talk to you. If your business is in that bad a shape, you have to talk to somebody like me or talk to somebody else. You cannot put that stuff aside and put it away. The other thing is I get a lot of people that call me and they're like, hey, Chris, I'm 3 weeks from going out of business. And I ask them, you know, we go into details. And I was like, well, how long has this progressed? And they go, oh, well, I knew 6 months ago I'd probably end up here. Then why the hell didn't you call me 6 months ago? Like, you can't wait till the last minute, like, oh, I'm out of cash tomorrow and I'm not coming in again.
Chris, can you save a shop with 3 weeks in his mind to go?
If you do everything that I ask you to do, we could probably be able to delay it a fourth week and a fifth week and a sixth week. And if we can get past that point, we can probably make it. It depends on what the problems are. Like, mm-hmm. like if the tax man's coming and is taking all the money in your account and everything like that, probably not. But if you have fundamental issues where it's parts margins, labor margins, things like that, then yeah, we can definitely do it. I had a shop owner one time contact me and we went through the labor margin drill and was looking at what his costs were versus his margin. And his margin was so low on the labor. I'm like, you have to raise your labor rate $60 an hour. And he's like, I can't do that. I'll go out of business. I'm like, you're going there anyway. So you might as well do what I told you. And then we turned around and we got there and everything was fine. You know, people tell me all the time, well, I can't raise my labor rate $9 an hour, $5 an hour. BS, I've done it. $60 is the biggest one I've ever done. And sometimes you have to take drastic measures like that. If you have fundamentally let your shop go so far, you have to do drastic things to get it back on track again.
Chris, is the shop still in business?
Yes, it's still in business.
And they're doing well?
Yeah.
You can't do this stuff alone if you're struggling.
I do think it's a great idea to share with your team the overall health of your business, because then that's going to allow you not only just to, you know, get it out there, you know, like Chris said, ahead of the rumor mill, but also now you've got your team involvement, right? You want your whole team involvement to where not only they can you share that information with you, but they get to be part of the solution. That's going to create their buy-in. You know, you set the vision. They'll be able to help you achieve that. And so I think it's a great idea to share that information. Holding regular meetings. And so that's a perfect example. Here's the health of our shop. But when I work with a lot of shops, it's amazing sometimes that there's a huge lack of communication. And so I think it's important to have, you know, your training meetings, your mentoring sessions, development sessions, staff potential sessions, and things of that nature, where you have these scheduled set meetings that you just don't miss, because it's going to allow you to connect with your team, mm-hmm. you know, set your vision, train and develop, you know, and focus on the things that are going to, you know, make the business run smoother, make the business and processes run better.
Chris, I call it, it says Coach Chris. So Coach Chris, I get hung up on the labels, right? You said, you know, somebody will contact you and set up a meeting and then they'll miss the meeting because they're too busy.
Right.
Right. And the next thing that I was thinking about with telling my team, gathering my team around me if I'm struggling, is then to delegate to them what I've been doing. So most shop owners, when they're in trouble, what do? They go back to tech more. Because they're the fastest, they're the best, and they're going to make the place more money. When in reality, all they're doing is digging them. They're basically the ostrich putting the head in the sand is what they're doing. So what they need to do is gather the team and tell the techs, I am not teching for the next 2 months. Tell the advisor or advisors, I'm not advising for the next 2 months because I have got to turn this thing around. That's the first thing when you gather that team is you now say, I am not doing these two roles because I'm now going to become that manager, that owner that this place actually needs. I can't get pulled away from that kind of stuff. So this is where I need you guys. So asking them to take it away and then, you know, slap my hand if I try to go grab a wrench or try to grab the keyboard again, like, you know, and force me to be that manager that I need to be and have the meetings, you know, asking for help, meeting with the Chris's and the Brian's and the Me's of the world and going to some of the other, you know, suggestions that some of these other coaches have, right? So that's part of what I also meant by telling them is I need your help. I asking them for help as well, not just outside sources.
For a lot of shop owners or a lot of technicians, right? If you're a technician and you're used to flat rate or flag time, you can always work harder and make more money and individually prosper. But as a shop owner, if your processes and procedures are broken and you're losing money, all working harder is going to do is get you broke faster. You cannot work yourself out of that if you're losing money.
I want to tuck back to the messaging piece. You brought up, Chris, you'd hate to want to go to the grocery store and have someone say to you, I hear you're going out of business. So I want to go back to that. I want to clarify something. You do not want to create doom and gloom when you sit down and ask for help. That's a bad thing. But needing help in a change environment, listen, the industry's changing. We have to change. I think you can ask for help with a positive spin that doesn't sound like doom and gloom.
But here's the other part, Carm, is sometimes when people are in this situation, they are so psychologically down and beat up that they have a hard time putting it that way. So part of the advice I'm hearing from you would be is to focus on yourself, get your head turned in that this is solvable and doable as you reach out for help, and then be able to communicate it that way. Because sometimes they're just, and again, back to the head in the sand, is they gravitate to what their natural skill set is or what they're comfortable with. Either they go to the bench in tech. Sometimes they'll do the chatting with the clients, but a lot of them who are numbers people, because there are some people who are actually numbers people, but still are not doing well, they'll just sit and look at spreadsheets for days, right? And that, apparently that's going to make their business come back, right? And just have to get their heads out of the spreadsheet. So,
hey, Carm here. Now keep listening to find out why everyone should have an alter ego when you need to get stuff done. You know, when you started in business, did you really think that cars would be driving themselves and that people would be buying cars online without even test driving them? Well, I don't think any of us did, and yet that's exactly what's going on. On the repair side, the auto industry is changing fast. Customers expect quick answers and proof that they need the repairs you recommend. They want to pay you while buying a coffee and then rate you on Yelp after picking up their keys. So why stay in the past? A shop owner named Carolyn asked herself the same question, so she created an online shop management system that automates the stuff you do over and over again. She and her team added texting and every step in the process from booking your appointments to posting that stellar review. They learn from their customers just like you learn from yours. And it's the system that's leading the industry into a bright future. Check it out at GetShopware.com. Would you ever consider going to a restaurant you've never heard of without first checking the reviews on Google? Well, probably not, right? Now, think about someone who has to bring their car, one of their most valuable possessions, into a shop they haven't heard of. They're probably going to want to read some Google reviews first to make sure that they're going to a reputable place. Broadly is focused on helping auto shops increase their number of reviews on Google. Now, they know that that's one of the best ways to build trust with potential customers and get your business discovered online. Google reviews are going to make you stand out from your competition and get more customers coming into your shop. Trust me, reviews can make all the difference in your business. So what are you waiting for? Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews. Make the move. Visit Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative. Learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. I want to tell people that when the episode is released, in the show notes, you'll be able to get links to 9 different podcasts that will lend itself. Murray, you just mentioned a couple of them. One of them is Ego is the Enemy. Another one is Stop Being Afraid. Are You a Shop Owner or a Business Owner? Taking Your Toolbox Home. The Courage to Make Tough Decisions. So Hitting Rock Bottom and Climbing Out. These are all shows we've done that would, I believe, inspire someone to find their path.
There's so many resources and everything out there available. Like if you just do a simple Google search, you'll come up with all kinds of stuff. But you have to remember, those people could and or could not be in any better shape than you are, right? Like I see everybody in the forums all the time and they're asking questions. And sometimes I just want to smack my head or whatever. I'm like, that's not how I would have answered that, but that's how they're doing it in their shop. But again, when we're talking about asking for help, ask for other shop owners. Some of the best referrals I've ever had as clients came from people in Facebook groups. And they're like, hey, I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. And then one of my clients has reached out to him and said, look, it's worth a phone call to Chris or coach or whoever just to talk it out and see what's going on. You know, if we are salvageable, if we can turn it around.
Great point. How many times, Murray, have you sat down with somebody who's struggling and took a look at the financials and or realized there are no financials?
That was my challenge as an early business owner, is either figuring them out yourself or delegating them to somebody, hiring somebody. Well, I don't have any money to hire a bookkeeper. Well, you know what? There's some good bookkeepers out there, pretty reasonable rate, that can get this caught up and done in a tenth of the time that it takes you because they're experts at it, right? It's cheaper money that way. So to me, the next thing to do is actually look at the numbers, even if you do a quick set of numbers, if you don't have any, but get them caught up, get a bookkeeper, talk to your accountant, get them caught up, and see where you're at so that you can actually understand. So you can actually talk intelligently to your bank or to your creditors or to other people. And then the other part of that is if you have good financials and that's all up to date, you'll have your good. Now in Canada, we call them remittances, right? So we have the federal tax, the payroll tax, and that kind of stuff. And like Coach Chris said, if the tax man's at you for 100 grand, probably over, right? I've seen that. But the idea is take a look at where your remittances are. You know, can you catch them up? Can you call the IRS or the CRA and talk to a rep and say, hey, I'm in trouble. I need to negotiate some freedom here. And, I'll get you your money, but I need some time, right? The idea that we have to face these hard conversations, that's just scary as all get it. It was so frightening as a young guy to have to go talk to my bank, to have to go reach out to the tax people. These people are actually, if you get the right ones, they're actually there to help you. They're like, we want you to succeed because you know what? We're actually better off if you succeed than if you don't. So what can you do to do that? But they began to hold my feet to the fire with accurate stuff. And I'm proud to say many, many years later, my bookkeeper, I actually delegated and hired somebody, is done every month. Like even in this business, right? It feels so, so good in the last sort of 20 years of life in business to know where I'm at. So that would be the next thing is, and again, that's the part of delegating. Okay, I'm not going to tech. I'm not going to advise. I'm going to get this stuff caught up, either me or with a professional's help.
You know, your income statement is your scorecard for success, right? That's the end all be all. You can look at your point of sale system. You can look at your income statement. I don't know how many times I talk to a shop owner and I'm like, okay, send me, how up to date are you? And they're like, oh, well, I got the first 6 months of the year done, but the other 6 months aren't done yet. And that was for last year and it's January this year. If you're that far behind on your income statement or your accountant is telling you they can't get it done, find another accountant or bookkeeper. You cannot run your business more than, I would say, 2 weeks out on your income statement. And really, I would want you to be like within a week. If you're waiting for months to get your income statement, now, if it's your fault, that's one thing. But if they have everything they need, then there's no excuse for that. And it's time to change accountants or bookkeepers. I had a shop owner come to me. He's like, hey, Chris, I want to sell my business. And this was the end of last year. And I'm like, okay, send me your income statement. And he goes, for what year? And I'm like, well, what years do you have? And he's like, well, they're almost done with 2019. So they haven't finished 2019. They haven't started on 2020 and we're into 2021. I'm like, well, how have you been paying your taxes? Well, we haven't. I'm like, okay. I'm like, how much has the money made? And he was like, well, we're barely breaking even. I'm like, how much money you got in your checking account? And he said, $6,000. I'm like, write me a check for that and I'll take your business because I'm not paying you a penny for that. Nobody else will either. You guys have to be up to date on your income statement. You can't run your business without it that way. And in process piping and refineries and things like that, there's a way when you're stroking valves and everything, you don't want to make an over adjustment because your pipe flow and everything will be up and down and cycling. Same thing in your business. You don't want to make a drastic change 6 months after it should have been done because you don't know where you're really at. You have to have those numbers.
Guys, I want to stop for a moment and just tie on to what you're saying. We just released a brand new podcast in the Aftermarket Radio Network from CPA Hunt Demarest. And ironically, I have to tell you, that episode number 2, which is, you know, on Hunt's feed, it's on my feed, Common Issues with Financial Statements, is exactly what you guys are talking about. You guys now have this podcast with Hunt to help shore up much of the stuff that you're telling your people. I mean, it's coming from a coach, but say, listen, you don't think I'm telling you the right way? Well, let me tell you, a guy who's working with really successful shop owners. So we're happy to have Hunt inside the network with Chris.
Yeah, I saw the first episode. I need to get to look at the second one now.
Oh, the second one. The second one's off the charts because, Chris, it goes back to the fact that, let me see, the P&L says this and the SMS says that. There's a gap. There's a problem.
And especially if you're paying your technicians and paying your service advisors off gross profit and things like that, if you're paying them off your dashboard on your point of sale system and it's 10 points off of what your income statement says, you know, it could be in your favor, it could be in their favor, but it's not right either way. It's not fair to anybody.
So guys, one of my thoughts as you guys were doing some great brainstorming is the word responsibility for my extended family. So if I'm a shop, Chris, you just mentioned I got $6,000 in the bank and they're struggling. They don't have P&Ls for years. Do you find that the struggling shop owner really thinks about the spouse of this technician? To me, if you thought deeper about the extended family, you would work harder to fix what you have.
I think they're thinking about that, but I think maybe their mindset on it's a little bit wrong because that shop owner probably has 10, 15 checks in the top drawer of his desk that he's never cashed, right? Like shop owners will write themselves a check and never cash it. So I think from that part of it, they are thinking about everybody else's family first, but at that point they're putting their family last and they're the ones, it's their name on the building, it's whatever else. But people in the industry are so nice if they look at it and say, okay, I've got technicians, you know, our productivity is 75% and I'm paying this technician and I can't afford my check, then, you know, let that technician go and write yourself a check. I mean, or find them a job or explain it to them or something, like change your business so that you can get paid. I don't think they're not thinking about everybody else. I think they're putting everybody else first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
And themselves last, yeah.
And then so to me, that whole idea is, and in many cases, they need each of the people. It's not about letting anybody go in many of the cases. It's about running the business so it's profitable so they actually have a paycheck, right, for themselves. Two things that I comment on that is I look at them and I'll say, if you didn't have this business, you would need a job to provide for your family, right? Well, yeah. And if you work for somebody else, you would expect to be paid for your work, right? Yeah. So then why don't you look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that you got to pay yourself because you're your own boss, right? That would be one thing I'd talk to some of them about.
So I'd like to add, if you have a shop out there and you are struggling, seek out the information. There's a lot of information that's out there that doesn't cost you in a penny. The Carm shows, you know, Hunt stuff that he's doing. I'm sure these guys have a lot of great information on the website. I do. Taking out some time to focus in on your business, trying to seek some of that information. Other shops in your area, you know, whether you're be a part of ASA, get together with other like-minded people that have the same struggles that you face. They have the same goals that you have, you know, so you can start figuring out solutions. If there's some things you don't understand or know, the information is out there for you to be able to go out there and help your business, help your extended family and help your team, you know, help your shop, you know, to get better. If you're in a position where you can join a coaching group and you can surround yourself with other shop owners, odds are pretty good. There's going to be a few people in the room in the group that have been through exactly what you're going through. Everybody has different strengths, different weaknesses. And so it puts you in a position where you can not only build these lifelong relationships and friends, but you get great information. You get to share great information. You get to collect great information and you're not out there all by yourself. It gets lonely. It gets scary. Mm-hmm. There's folks out there that are ready to help you.
And to both of your guys' points, it's all about accountability. Like if you're a shop owner and you don't have a coach or a peer group to look after you and help you, typically there's nobody else to tell you, don't do that, do it this way, whatever. And unfortunately, happened to me, I ran my wife off in the beginning because I was doom and gloom every day and I came home and I didn't remember the 100 things that went well. I'd walk through the door and she'd be like, hey, tell me about your day. And we'd sit down and all I did was talk about how this customer did this or this employee did that. And then after about a month of that, she's like, you know what? I don't want to talk about that anymore. She goes, if nothing's ever going right in the business, I don't want to know about it. So the accountability partner that I wanted and that I needed, I ran off. So, you know, lesson learned. But if you don't have somebody else to hold you accountable, you have to find somebody to do that, because in the end, we'll always default to not cashing our checks, putting other people first. And really, it's about somebody propping you up and making you the business owner that you are. And earlier, we were talking about income statements and making sure that our accountants and bookkeepers are doing what they're supposed to be doing. If you need to create an alter ego, if you need to be somebody else or turn on a switch to get those things done and be the bad guy. So like my alter ego is The Rock. So if I need to get pumped up or if I'm doing something in person or if I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that, then I think like, how would Dwayne Johnson, how would The Rock do that? And then, you know, not to that degree, but that's what I do. Same thing when I'm talking to a service advisor that maybe have like a meeker personality or whatever, and they've got a $4,000 ticket. I'm like, who's your hero? Who do you look up to? I was doing a shop visit and I had the same thing. The service advisor said James Bond. I can't remember the guy's name, but one of the James Bonds. So I went over, I printed out a picture of James Bond and put it right there. And I said, before you make a sale from now on, I want you to look at that picture and go, I'm James Bond and I'm going to sell this $4,000 ticket. And guess what? They started texting me the next week. He's like, oh, I sold a $3,500 ticket. Oh, I sold a $6,500 ticket. It's amazing what you can do with your alter ego. But back to my original point, if you have to be The Rock to be a badass for your business, then be The Rock. do what you need to do for the business.
I'm very discouraged with the accounting profession right now. And this is coming out publicly. The number of people who are behind, their accountant can't keep up and that other kind of stuff. I'm extremely discouraged with that profession. My clients are beginning to fire and rehire and look. A couple of people have reached out to me in the Hunt that have actually taken training from Hunt or Hunt's company. Some accountants in Canada have reached out to me about that, and we're finding people, good people. But one of the things I'm teaching my clients to do with their providers is to ask the question, by when can I expect this to be done? And get an answer in writing. Like, we have to stand up for ourselves, because we as shop owners see accountants as God, and they're the ones that fix everything for us, and we owe them everything because they've always rescued us and they help us with our audits and that kind of stuff. And we have to flip ourselves around, like you said, Chris, and we have to stand there and go, you work for me. When are you going to get that done? Enough is enough. But the other thought, I remember my other train of thought, Chris, by your comment about speaking about your spouse, is the number of shop owners whose wife is the main provider of the family because they're a nurse, they're a doctor, they're a chiropractor, they're a flight attendant. I sat beside a flight attendant 2.5 years ago on a debt. She was deadheading back home, and her husband was a technician with a shop. I just about had her in tears, and I wasn't trying to have her in tears. And I said, here's my card. And for some reason, I never heard from that family. But a senior flight attendant, I mean, she was with a good airline in Canada. You know, she can where she lives, she can support a family and stuff. And he's like playing hobby automotive, right?
He has a hobby, yeah.
It was heartbreaking. And I see this so many times where the spouse, and again, traditionally, right, a lot of shop owners are males still. I mean, lots of women getting into the industry, which is great. But these women are supporting their families while these guys, and it's not even that it's necessarily a hobby in some cases. It's literally they just have no idea what they're doing and come home every day doom and gloom.
The other thing I see is a lot of people getting into our industry because the money's crazy now. People have all this type of things. I had somebody contacted me and they're like, Chris, I'm in the software industry. My shop's not even going to be open for 6 months. I saw your stuff. Can we start working together now so that the shop's ready? So we got people outside the industry with a lot of money that are coming in,
yep,
that are starting it, doing it the right way. And then we got people that have been in for 25, 30, whatever years and still won't ask for help. You know, I would love to tell you that we all have the secret sauce and it's magic and we can, guys, what we do is not rocket science. It really isn't.
You know what it is, Chris? It's having an open mind. It is not being the smartest kid in the group. It is listening and challenging your own think. Well, this guy's doing it this way, but that only works for him because he's in Tennessee. Those are all wrong attitudes, close-minded things to have. But more and more, we just interviewed a shop owner who said, if I didn't check my ego, I would be history today. I had to get out of my own way and realize that there were people to teach me things that I never knew existed back when I started. So when I finally, after 5 years of struggle, figured it out, where could I have been had I listened to somebody then? I hear this over and over again. You have stories that you can tell over and over again. So why? Oh, why do we still have people in that negative vortex?
The brain wiring, which is I'm going to come out of this positive, the brain wiring required to be a gearhead generally comes with dyslexia in some form.
Or ADD or ADHD.
Exactly. Yes. They're all related. So somebody who can literally take a differential apart and put it back together without a book, that brain feature, highly intelligent, smart person, comes with some other features that don't match our education system and all that kind of stuff. So guess what happens to them? They get put in shop class. They hate authority. They hate teachers. They hate cops. And they hate all of that. So they see us as authority and they can't turn it around. And so it's not ego. It's self-defense mechanism because they have felt beat up in our school system so long that they just see this stuff as just another version of school, right? And somehow we need current shop owners who have broken through that, who have found ways to survive, who have gotten over their bad spelling and don't care anymore, have gotten over all that, found people to do the work for them that they can't do with numbers and computers and stuff. And they're really good with people too. A lot of them are really good with people, connecting right with people, because you have to learn how to connect with people when your brain's wired that way, right? So they have two great skills. They need to learn to leverage those skills and find other people to do the things that they don't care for, they don't like, and stop. And again, how do I say this kindly? You're 50 years old now already, dude. Yeah, maybe check the ego a little bit, but maybe check the defensive mechanism that the ego is and work with your crap and come out of this, because you need to help your family and survive. Sorry, guys, I try to be kind here, but
No, that's awesome.
It's the truth.
Maybe I need to start asking for those things when clients come on, because all the time I have clients that are dyslexic, ADD, ADHD, autism, but high functioning autism. I have several shop owners that have Asperger's, and Kimberly, my wife, she used to work with special needs children. And once I find these things out, or I'll talk to them, talk to Kimberly about it. She's like, yeah, that person's probably on the spectrum. What I'm doing or how I communicate normally with a client is not the same way. So she's given me tips and techniques, like, and some of it's as easy as color coding emails. Like, don't put it all in black text, but do it, you know, red, blue, greens, because they go to different personalities. And this is so far off topic, but I just thought that was great, Murray, what you said.
I think so.
There are, I don't know, 50% of the people in the industry may be that way.
Allen Test Products did a study of their people in the late 90s. And a lot of people that got to Allen Test Products are former technicians, right? That became techs, selling scopes, became salespeople and that kind of stuff. And they studied, like, a huge company, Allen Testing Products, right? And they found 51-52% tested with some version of dyslexia. All right. So to me, I've known that for years with some of my techs, some of the shop owners I work with. And there are ways, like you said, Chris, we need to talk to professionals that can help us help them. There's some great books out there for people that I've actually been given to me by dyslexic shop owners and saying, here, give these books to other shops that you might think might have this. They live in pictures. They live visually. A lot of them, numbers and letters get mixed up. You know, anything that you can do visually with systems for them, they just eat it up. There's help for everybody. Yep.
And the other thing I would say is if you're contacting a coach and you know you have these things or these qualities, let us know up front. Like for me specifically, I'll talk to my wife and we'll come up with, as part of the training plan for that, is how we communicate.
Guys, if you don't mind, something else that I'm helping people with, I've been helping this for years, is I'll watch a technician / turned owner, you know, hook up a lab scope or hook up a laptop with factory scan tool, figure out how to fix this Tesla. And I'm going to share a Google Doc with them and invite them to a Google Doc. And they're like, I don't know how to make this work. What I'm trying to learn from them is what can they transfer? Because they see Google or they see my products or they see my tools as something foreign. And as soon as I can get them to connect the dots and adapt what they are so good at technologically, all of a sudden the light bulbs go on and go, oh, well, if I can do that, I can do that. And they realize how simple this stuff is, because it needs to be presented in such a way that they can connect the dots to how their brains work, right?
Honest to God, I think we've covered something here that we didn't anticipate to cover. Thank you, Murray. As a struggling shop owner, stop to think that, maybe this is how you were born. And until you open your world up to someone like a business coach or a peer or in a networking group, let's try to put a bow on this in the next few minutes, and let's go around the room. Brian, Chris, and then we'll let Murray go last since he's looking something up. So, Brian, is there anything on your talking points that you'd love to cover?
Another reason what might be holding folks back is pride. And I think that it's important just to get that out of the way. That's about the most foolish thing you can do, is have too big of an ego to ask for help or to seek out help. You know, I have a couple of mentors that I want to talk to every chance I get. It's one of the main reasons I joined camp, is to meet guys like Chris and Murray and get to know them and get some great information from these guys and so many of the other great coaches that are on there. You know, so I think it's important to keep in mind who you're surrounding yourself with, the company that you keep, the direction that you want to go. I really want to see shop owners that are struggling, do everything you can do to get yourself on the right path. That the path is there. You just got to jump on that deal.
Thank you so much. And thank you for bringing up CAMP, a great organization of coaches. And we do the occasional CAMP fire chat on the CAMP Facebook page. It's all you can go there for all kinds of great resources. Chris, I'll let you go next.
Not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, one of the things I started out with was ask for help, right? Like, when I close out my podcast every week, I give my email, I give my phone number, and I'm those two things away from you contacting me. And I'll talk to anybody. Like, if you want to talk business, I'll talk to anybody. I don't care who you are, what your situation is. If you never pay me or if you pay me all the time, I will speak to you and we can talk about the business, but you got to ask for help. You got to stop and do that first, right?
Any way that people could access you and your company. So, Brian, let me go back to you. Website, anything you want to offer up?
I could be contacted directly through my website at unetresults.com. I'm happy to help. You know, I do a free strategy session. If you're someone in need, in fact, I got the coolest thing. I got a text message from a service advisor asking for my help. Straight up said, I really don't have the funds to afford the service advisor training. I can't wait to help this guy. He's so ambitious. He reached out. I mean, I really want to help this individual do great things because, you know, he took his own time to do that, you know, and he works for a dealership. Unetresults.com, my information's on there, or brian.gillis@unetresults.com.
Are we one of the only industries, guys, that has such an incredible peer networking and coaching organizations? Do electricians and carpenters, the other skilled trades have something like this?
One of the things that I was watching as COVID happened was all these restaurants going down in flames. And I'm like, if that was my restaurant, this is what I would do to fix it. All of us as coaches were doing as many calls as we could, as many shows as we could. I don't know how many times Hunt updated the industry on PPP, the EIDL loans, everything like that. And I didn't see any of that happening in the restaurant industry or anything else. So yeah, I think sometimes it feels like there's way too many coaches in all of us, but you know, in the end, we get it all done and there's enough for all of us.
Chris, how can people get a hold of you?
Chris@autofixsos.com. You can also go to autoshopcoaching.com. And then more importantly, on the Aftermarket Radio Network, listen to my weekly blitz. It's free every week. It's wonderful. People tell me, to me, it just boggles the mind. This is one of the things that I never thought I would have gotten into, but I do it. I love it. Karm keeps pumping me up and I'm the rock when I do that too, because that's not my normal personality, I don't think.
By the way, I have to comment on the alter ego. I either read a book or I read a great article on it. And back when I was doing a lot of speaking for corporate America, and frankly, guys, I couldn't remember who my alter ego was, but I was reaching in for my alter ego in order to, if you will, overcome a few things that could be stage fright and stuff. So really important. Thanks for bringing that up, Chris. Murray?
RPMtraining.net, the website. There's a contact place there. There's also a free course that if you listen to it, you'll get a sense of my style of training and you will be able to make money right away from the basic principles that are there. Once you contacted me, we'll set up a call. I have another challenge, gentlemen. I have hardly any space left, so I'm interviewing some great shop owners that sold their shops and I might be expanding soon. So we'll see. Stay tuned. I'm very proud to have lost three clients this year because they successfully had a succession plan.
Nice.
I have replaced two of them. I've got room for one more. But I will do calls, but maybe not quite as flexible as the other guys right now. You guys might have more staff than me. Book I wanted to share with you, Give It to Me by a Shop Owner. All right. So this comes referenced from somebody who has worked with this. It's called The Gift of Dyslexia by Ronald Davis. And the author himself didn't speak till he was like 7 or 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
So it's amazing.
Thank you for that. We'll make sure that that book appears on the books page as every book that's ever mentioned on any of the shows for the last 5 or 6 years is up on the books page on the website. Thank you, Murray Voth, RPM Training, Chris Cotton, Auto Fix Auto Shop Coaching, and the Chris Cotton Weekly Blitz Podcast, and Brian Gillis, the Chief Unet Results Strategist. Thank you so much. Enlightening, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.